Please turn with me in your Bibles to that psalm here then this morning, congregation, as our catechism instructs us on the second and the third petition of the Lord's Prayer to Psalm 97. Psalm 97 speaks of the sovereignty of the Lord and how He reigns over all and each one of our lives as well. Psalm 97, a short psalm. We read it all here this morning beginning at verse 1. Congregation, hear the word of the Lord as it is read for you this morning. The Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice. Clouds and thick darkness surround Him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of His throne. Fire goes before Him and consumes His foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim His righteousness, and all the peoples see His glory. All who worship images are put to shame. Those who boast in idols, worship Him, all you gods. Zion hears and rejoices, and the villages of Judah are glad because of Your judgments, O Lord. For You, O Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. Let those who love the Lord hate evil, for He guards the lives of His faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light is shed upon the righteous, and joy on the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous, and praise His holy name. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. May His Holy Spirit bless it to our hearts as we consider it together here this morning. I draw your attention to our text for this morning, verse 1 of Psalm 97. Verse 1, the Lord reigns, let the earth be glad, let the distant shores rejoice. Let's ask God's guiding hand upon His word as it's brought forth here this morning. Father in heaven, we do pray that You would lead us to a better understanding of both Your sovereignty and Your kingdom coming and Your will being done here upon this earth. Father, help that to be true, not just around the world, but in each one of our own lives. May we each personally be confronted with this truth of Your holy word and of our own need for righteousness. Teach us Your ways and grant us Your blessing even this morning, O Lord. In Jesus' name alone we pray. Amen. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our catechism classes this morning study material, as I mentioned, that combines the second and the third petitions of the Lord's Prayer. And this means, then, that for us here this morning as well, two Lord's Days must be covered by us this morning, Lord's Days 48 and 49 in the catechism. And by the time that we're done here this morning, I hope that you'll be able to see that this combination of these two thoughts and ideas really make very good sense. Because you see, this made sense to the gospel writers as well. And I say that because you see, if you were to look at Luke chapter 11 and read that version of the Lord's Prayer that Luke preserves for us there, you would immediately notice that something's missing from what we normally consider to be the Lord's Prayer. And it is the third petition, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Luke does not contain that request at all. That's absent. Absent not because Luke didn't appreciate or like that phrase. Rather, it's absent because, you see, strictly speaking, we don't really need that phrase. Because think on this with me, beloved. If we have already prayed the second request of the Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come, and if we have really meant it in our heart and in our life, in other words, if we truly desire the full coming and establishment in every human heart around the world of the kingdom of God, the rule and the authority of Almighty God in each and every person's heart and life, if we really mean that in the second petition, well, then included in that rule and in that kingdom would be the doing of God's will in our lives. Wouldn't it? all people would already be fully obeying the one will of God, if in fact God's kingdom has come and taken over their life. So, can you see how God's kingdom and God's will are so closely intertwined and interrelated? Well, all right, but our catechism does properly follow the more familiar version of the Lord's Prayer, which is found and which we get from Matthew chapter 6. And so we have one Lord's Day this morning devoted to each petition of the Lord's Prayer, the second and the third. So turn with me to our catechism now, starting with Lord's Day 48 in the backs of our Psalter hymnals. It should be found on page 61, and we'll be looking at question and answer 123. The single question and answer is going to constitute the first part of the message this morning, the kingdom of God. What are we really asking for when we pray that simple request, Our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom come? Well, you'll notice that our catechism has four basic sections there, four parts to this simple enough request. But congregation, notice how all-encompassing the ramifications are for this request in every area of our life. Question and answer 123. What does the second request mean? The answer comes, thy kingdom comes means, notice the four parts, rule us by your word and spirit in such a way that more and more we submit to you. Keep your church strong and add to it. Destroy the devil's work. Destroy every force which revolts against you and every conspiracy against your word. And do this until your kingdom is so complete and perfect that in it you are all in all. A powerful request this is. And I might mention to you again that notice how in each one of the catechism answers concerning the six petitions of the Lord's Prayer, they're really laid out in a prayer, as if we're talking to God Himself in this answer. If you ever wonder how to pray, just take out your catechism and pray these answers back to God. But notice the four parts. You know, look at that first part with me here this morning. You know how many of our question and answers aren't written in the more generic third person using terms like us and we when it talks about ourselves. But congregation, I want you to look at this first section here and look at that first line again and turn it into the first person. A little English lesson here for you, right? Not us and them and we, but I and me. So look at that first part. Rule me by your word and spirit in such a way that more and more, who? I submit to you. You see, I want you to personalize this request. Because you see, so easily, almost glibly, this Lord's Prayer rolls off from our tongue, doesn't it? Rule me in such a way that more and more I submit to you. Now tell me, beloved, is that really what you want for your life? Because if it's not, then you should not be praying the Lord's Prayer. Young people, tell me, do you want God to rule over every part of you and your life? Or do you want to keep back a chunk for yourself and rule it yourself? God can have this piece of me here, but not here. Moms and dads, are you more and more willing to submit yourself to God's Word and Spirit? To study that Word? To have your own personal devotions so that you can better know that Word? You see, this second petition is all about a battle of our wills. How daily we are being tempted to escape out from underneath God's kingdom and go and establish my own little kingdom over here. Yeah, I know what God wants me to do, but I don't care. I'm going to do this instead. set ourselves up as our own little God. Do you notice how twice in Psalm 97 other gods are mentioned? Gods with a little g spelled with a small lowercase g, as compared to the Lord, Yahweh, Israel's one and only true God of all heaven and earth. Look at Psalm 97. Don't put your catechisms away. You just need a big lap here this morning. Psalm 97, verse 7. All who worship images are put to shame. Those who boast in idols, worship Him, all you gods. You who think you're gods. Want to try to establish yourself as God? And then look at verse 9. Verse 9, for you, O Lord, are the most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. You see, beloved, whether those gods are simply make-believe, whether they are idols fashioned out of wood and stone and metal by humans, or whether it's the humans themselves who are establishing themselves, trying to establish themselves as gods on this earth. Understand, these are simply imaginary kings trying to stretch their imaginary muscles and establish their own imaginary kingdom here below. And beloved, if you think about it, this was simply Satan's first trick on our first parents in the Garden of Eden, wasn't it? What line did he use on Eve that finally won the day? Do you remember? What is it? You shall be like God. And that's what did it. She said, yeah, I don't care about who God is. I want to be my own God. And she ate and gave to her husband, and he ate. And ever since, beloved, our sinful will all too easily sides with this idea, and we try to establish our own little kingdom, even while we're shaking off the kingdom of God, pushing it out of our life. Notice what we're asking for here then, beloved, in answer 123. That by God's Word and Spirit, that our sinful and selfish will be more and more brought into submission to the Lord. You see, congregation, only the regenerated heart could ever want this. Only the redeemed soul can truly pray this petition of the Lord's Prayer. Only God the Holy Spirit can make our dead hearts alive and have us pray in all earnestness this request, that God's kingdom would come and be established within my soul. So, beloved, there's the establishment of God's kingdom within us. But notice there is much more. With a new and godly will placed within us by the Holy Spirit, our attention next then turns to others. Look at the second aspect of God's kingdom, that second section of answer 123. Keep your church strong and add to it. You see, beloved, here we're asking God in the second petition to preserve His church here upon this earth, His people here upon this earth. Our concern goes out not just for ourselves, to be more and more ruled by the Lord, but that everyone should be, because we see the blessing in it. And we're also asking here, increase them in number. You see, what we really have going on here, beloved, is an admission that if we are left to ourselves, we would be eaten alive by this sin-filled world. Because our hearts still have sin remaining within them, even after we are regenerated, our hearts easily go astray if the Spirit does not keep His hand upon us and preserve us. And so what we're pleading here for is for the Lord to keep us strong and to add to our numbers. Thirdly, keep going there. We're also asking the Spirit to do battle for us. Notice how forceful we pray God's kingdom to come. Look at that third section. Destroy the devil's work. In fact, destroy every force which revolts against you and every conspiracy against your word. You see, this destructive, conquering force known as God's kingdom, that is what we pray for here, to come and enter into this sin-filled world. Lord, take care of that devil, Satan, permanently and forever. This is what the psalmist was praying for and describing in those first 7 verses of Psalm 97. Take notice of that with me there. Start at verse 1. The Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice. In other words, in spite of what it might look like sometimes out there in the world, that the devil's reigning, no, the Lord reigns. And what will happen? Verse 2, clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the peoples see his glory. Now stop right there, beloved. Notice the imagery that the psalmist uses of this violent storm that comes upon the earth. He uses this to describe how his holy and just God comes and confronts the sin and the evil in this world. Think of the violent spring storms that we can sometimes get here in western Michigan and how they roll upon the landscape, consuming and overwhelming. And that's what the psalmist is describing here. Verse 2, clouds and thick darkness. Verse 3, a consuming fire. Verse 4, lightning, so that even, verse 5, the mountains melt. This stormy language is often used in the Psalms to depict what happens when this sin-filled and wicked world is confronted by a righteous and holy God. The devil loses. He cannot stand before it. And all who side with the devil are consumed. Look at verse 7. Verse 7, all who worship images are put to shame, those who boast in idols. Worship him, all you gods. Friend, let me tell you here this morning, if your hope is not in the Lord, then both Holy Scripture and our catechism confront you today, pleading with you to turn from your selfish ways or you'll be consumed. Fourthly, notice what else the second petition involves. Look at the last section of answer 123. Do this until your kingdom is so complete and perfect that in it you are all in all. Establish your kingdom within me and in this world. Fight off the devil and all that stand for him. And do this until your kingdom is so complete and perfect that in it you are all in all. Congregation, understand that when we pray this brief request, thy kingdom come, we are asking for God to never give up on this battle of our wills until his kingdom is so complete and perfect in our hearts and lives and in this world that in it you are all in all. Beloved, that's ultimately what we want, isn't it? As believers here upon this earth, that God's glory might come to this earth, that God's kingdom would be found in every single heart and soul. So what a tremendous request we are making here, beloved. And let me ask you here this morning again, is this what you want? Do you truly want God to be all, in you and in this world? Do you want God's Word and Spirit to take over every part of your life? Or are you reserving pieces of yourself for yourself? Do you think that you can maybe keep God at arm's length? Not too far away, not so far away that if you're in trouble and you need him, well, okay, then he'll come help you. But far enough away so that he doesn't bother you when you want to do what you want to do. Far enough away that he doesn't keep pestering you about these pet sins that you have. Do you really want God's kingdom to come? Now, for the second point of the sermon this morning, turn to Lord's Day 49. Another single question and answer in our catechism, but notice the 3 cries for help that are found in this explanation of the third petition of the Lord's Prayer. Three cries for help. Question answer 124, bottom of the page. What does the third request mean? The answer comes, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, means, here's the first cry, help us and all men to reject our own wills. And, second cry, to obey your will without any back talk. Your will alone is good. And here's the third cry, help everyone carry out the work he's called to as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. Now stop there, beloved. And again, notice how interrelated the second and the third requests are of the Lord's Prayer. You see, if through the power of the Holy Spirit upon our lost hearts, we truly now do want for God's kingdom to come to us, into us, and rule over us as thoroughly as what answer 123 describes, well, then you see, beloved, the redeemed sinner also knows he cannot do this on his own. It's not just a matter of, yeah, Lord, your will's good, I'm going to go out and do that. And you leave here and you try really hard, you're going to fall. In fact, you're going to crash and burn. You have no hope in and of yourself. So therefore, the catechism writers understood we need to ask the Lord to help us. We will realize that every day we need to cry out for help from the same Spirit who first changed our hearts to go out and live that way in this world, so that God's will is done and not our own. And notice these three cries for help again in answer 124. Look at that first one again. Help us and all men to reject our own wills. Now stop right there. Because right there is a major request for us. Right here in just this first plea for help. To reject our own wills. That so totally goes against everything within us. Realize, beloved, that the last thing that the unregenerated heart wants is for his own will to be put down and God's will to be done instead. The pagan soul hates God. The Bible says that we're born enemies of God. In his Institutes of the Christian Religion, John Calvin writes that our natural born hearts are idol factories. Now picture that in your mind. Our hearts, idol factories. In other words, we will turn anything into an idol and say, that's what I really want, not what God wants. We will worship that thing, live for that thing, love that thing, including ourselves, mainly ourselves. You see, it is only the regenerated soul who will ever pray this prayer described in the first part of answer 124 sincerely. Lord, help me and all men to reject our own wills. Because of God's saving grace shown to us, well, we may still be sinners in this world. There's no doubt about that. But in Christ, we are slaves to sin no longer. Because of our new heart, we want God's will to be done. Yes, we will still stumble and fall in this world. But thanks be to God, He does not leave us in this sin. What does Paul say in Romans chapter 7? In that famous passage, well-known passage that every redeemed saint on earth can relate to so well. When he writes there, you know, the good that I want to do, that's what I don't do. And the bad that I want to stay away from, that's what I end up doing. We can all relate to that, can't we? Even as redeemed saints. But do you remember, beloved, how Paul ends that passage? He doesn't just confess who he is in this world. But do you remember? After confessing that horrible truth, does he give up in despair and say, well, I might as well just stay in my sin and sin so that grace may abound? Does he doubt and question his salvation because he so easily and persistently stumbles and falls? Well, I don't think God must love me anymore. Well, that's not how he responds at all, does he? What does Paul say? Paul knows that salvation did not start with Him, nor will it continue on in His life with just Him. It is all of Christ. And so He makes that great confession at the end of Romans 7, "O wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death?" Can you hear the cry for help there? What's His answer? "Thanks be to God, it is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, I'm a great sinner, but I have a great, even greater Savior. And He is my hope. He is my confidence. Christ is the helpless sinner's only hope." Jesus Christ changes our will and makes us now want to pray, "Help me and all men to reject my will." Well, next congregation, notice the second plea for help that we make in the third petition according to answer 124. And add there, "Help us," because remember, you're praying to God the Holy Spirit, "and help us," what? "To obey your will without any back talk. Your will alone is good." There's a confession for you. Is that your plea for help? Here we're asking, you see, beloved, the Holy Spirit to help us really in our sanctification. We need the Spirit to not only help us put down our own wills and our desires, which we pray for in that first cry for help, but also we want Him to raise up God's will and desires in our lives. And notice we are to do this, the Catechism says, without any back talk. Now, there's an interesting phrase. Let me ask you, how many of you are willing to backtalk to God? And I would guess most of you would recoil and go, "Oh, not me. I know who God is. I don't want to cross Him. I don't want any trouble here. I would never backtalk to God." Really? Be careful there, beloved, because you see, any time that we know what God's will is, His clearly proclaimed will for our life, and then we make a conscious decision to go against it, we are backtalking to God. For example, young people, God has clearly said in His Word that to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever is sin. And yet you're willing to date an unbeliever. That's backtalking to God. God has declared that sex is a beautiful gift to be preserved for marriage. Yet if you're engaged in premarital sex, you are backtalking to God. And adults, God has decreed to keep the Sabbath day holy. Very clearly told us in His will what He wants us to do. And yet you think nothing of beginning your trip or ending your trip on Sunday because that gives you an extra day of vacation, after all. That's backtalking to God. God has said that you're to let your manservant and maidservant rest on the Lord's day, just as you do. Yet you're willing to go shopping or out to eat on the Lord's day, forcing others to work for you on Sunday. That's backtalking to God. 100 more examples could be brought out, congregation, from the temptation to cheat on your tax return that you're turning in tomorrow, to doing a skimpy job at work tomorrow. But the question here, beloved, is this. Can you, with our catechism authors, in answer 124, truly confess that in every little aspect of your life, that indeed, God, your will alone is good? Is that your confession? Is that what you even want? That's what's included in this third petition of the Lord's Prayer. And this really ties in with the third cry for help in answer 124. Look at the very last section. "Help everyone carry out the work he is called to as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. Tell me, beloved, how willingly and faithfully do you think the angels in heaven carry out their work? Just think on that with me and be bold in your thinking. Can you even imagine one of those angels standing around the throne of God and God singling him out saying, come here, I have a job for you, receiving the command from God, go do this. And can you imagine that angel saying, well, God, let's hold on here just a minute. Are you sure that's really what you want? Maybe we ought to talk about this, you know, because I think maybe this would be better. Can you even imagine the angels doing something like that? Never! And yet when we know God's will, and we say, well, yeah, but that's for someone else. I'm going to do this instead. You see, we don't really want to carry out the work God calls us to do as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. We want our own kingdom to come. Now, beloved, think on this again with me. The angels would never say that because they understand clearly, far more clearly than us, that the Lord God over all heaven and earth has never once made a wrong command or something that needs to be rescinded or changes his mind. He rules justly and righteously. He is sovereign and true. And even though we may not always understand how certain events can possibly be for the good of God, yet we confess God does. And so we meekly submit to His will in our lives, even when it hurts. And in that submission, we find joyous service to the Lord. The kind that the psalmist is describing in the last half of Psalm 97. Yes, the Lord is holy and just and pure. But notice the confidence that God's people have when they truly entrust all of themselves to the Lord. Start at verse 8. Zion hears and rejoices. The villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments, O Lord. For you, O Lord, are the most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. Let those who love the Lord hate evil, for he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light is shed upon the righteous and joy on the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous, and praise His holy name. You see, in absolute contrast to the rebellious world around us, the righteous in Christ rejoice at the coming of God's rule and kingdom in their lives and in this world. And this is because, you see, as God's will is more and more done here upon this earth, as it is in heaven, then also more and more sin is removed on this earth. More and more evil is thwarted. More and more light comes and replaces the darkness. More and more sinners are turned into saints. And so you see, rejoicing and gladness, joy and exaltation rise up from the redeemed believer. That is why we pray, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. It's the prayer of the redeemed. And is it your prayer this morning? This is the desire of all who are saved by grace. This is the work of the Holy Spirit upon our heart. This is the start of those who look to Christ. This is the finish of those who look to Christ. This is their story. Christ is all in all. He makes this possible. He is the hope of the world. He is our hope. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you. We thank you that in this day you turn us even more to your ways and your will in this, your world. Father, we pray that personally, even in each one of our own hearts and lives, that You might more and more push out the devil, that his ways would be done with us, and that we might more and more serve You. Father, no matter how great those sins may have been in the past, may we be challenged this day to bring them all to the foot of the cross, to come to our Savior, and to see in Him everything that we need for life, for hope, for joy in this world. Grant Your blessing to us as we seek to live for You this day. Watch over and be with these Your people as they serve You. Grant them Your guidance. Give them Your grace. In Jesus' name alone we pray all of this. Amen.